Let's start. We're doing Parsha Shmini. Here it goes. So the last, we're going to the end of the Parsha, which on the side of article says, contamination of kosher animals. Nope. And then prohibition of eating creepy creatures. Reminding us of our college days in Minneapolis.
You mean like grasshoppers?
All types of things that people do for $27 to try to prove themselves. Now, so it happens like this. Here's the last verse of the Parsha. It goes through, which again, this Parsha has earlier, non-kosher creatures that transmit contamination, small creepy animals, objects receiving contamination. Earlier, the forbidden birds, forbidden insects, forbidden fish, forbidden animals. I'm going backward, by the way. But this Parsha is all about the kosher, dietary laws. Correct. Now it says this. This is the end of it. This is the law of the animal, because now it's a recap of the last passage. The bird, every living creature that swarms in the water, and for every creature that teems, with an M, on the ground. Next word. That's what we're discussing. This is the law. We just read those things. To distinguish between contaminated and the pure, and between the creature that may be eaten and the creature that may not be eaten. That's the last words of the parasha. The last one about to tell you. By the way, recap, we just did all the laws of what's permitted and what's not permitted as well. Now, we have discussed many times in this class that there are the accepted view by Judaism, although people question it, the accepted view by Judaism is that there are 613 commandments. And what those specific 613 are, that's a great debate. The Rambam has his list. The Ramban argues on the Ramban in a few places. Nachmanides argues, Maimonides. We have many of the Goyim who predate the Rambam. We have many of the Rishonim who post the Rambam. Everyone has a list of what they think is the 613. And then when you figure out what's in the 613, sometimes we reverse engineer it. It's a famous sefer written on the Rabsad Goyim. He wrote a poem on the 613. There was a genius rabbi, late 1800s, early 1900s, a Perlow. He did it amazing. He took this poem that has, I'm making up 613 lines. It's much less. It's not. It's each line is sometimes four. So let's assume it's 100 lines. I should have counted it once. And it's just a poem. And he turned that poem, which was a poem of the 613, but it's poetic words. So you have to figure out what from those words, what are the 613, on according to this rabbi, Rabsad Goyim. And then when he got the list of the 613, he said, okay, now let me reverse engineer it. What must be his rules of what makes him to the 613? Maimonides, the Rambam, writes an introduction, and in his introduction, he gives the klalim, the general rules of what can be placed within. So he says, for example, we discussed a few weeks ago, you don't have a mitzvah that was only relevant to the desert. Don't leave over the mon doesn't make the 613. A one-time obligation in the desert doesn't make it in. Repeat commandments don't make it in. And on you could say on 39 halachas of Shabbos, you don't count it as 39. And the Rambam gives a list of rules, and then he says, based on these rules, let me tell you my 613. This genius rabbi from 100 years ago did the reverse. He took the 613 and then reverse engineered what the rules must be, where he argues in the Rambam and not, and he proves it by, oh, he argues on this rule in the Rambam. Did you see in these 17 places? He brought in these 17 things. It's beyond comprehensively impressive. Anyway, why am I saying that now? Because the Rambam counts this pasuk that we just read as one of the 248 positive commandments. One of the 240 positive commandments is to positive, to distinguish between the contaminated, that doesn't mean, to distinguish between the creatures that may be eaten and the creature that may not be eaten. How is that a positive mitzvah, the Rambam's writing? It's a positive mitzvah to distinguish between them. The Rambam writes, that means like this. If someone is going to eat non-kosher food, he violates a negative prohibition. It's the same word, negative word, prohibition. Why? The prohibition says don't eat non-kosher food. Let's say don't eat pig. Let's say don't eat pig. Don't eat these species. If you eat from these species, you violated a negative prohibition. What you also violated now is that you didn't distinguish. Because you were supposed to distinguish between what's allowed and not allowed. So by eating something that's not allowed, you didn't distinguish. So you also violate the positive command. That means when I see someone eating pig, I can warn them on two things. If you eat pig, you violate the pasuk in this week's parasha, don't eat non-kosher animals. And by the way, it also says distinguish between positive and negative. You're not distinguishing. That's the Rambam's sort of interpretation of what some explain what the Rambam says. We have one of the 248 positive commandments to distinguish. I want to do it. It's a bad word.
Differentiate?
Yeah, it's not a good word. Yeah, distinguish is not a good word. Differentiate.
To me, it sounds like one.
Separate's better, but the problem with separate is that it's not a problem with eating it. But yeah, that's what he said.
To me, it sounds to, like like one commandment.
The word in Hebrew is lahavdil.
I know that word though.
So lahavdil is havdalah, what we do after marriage. Separation, right? Not distinguish. Why Oscar wrote distinguish? I can't answer that. Maybe because to separate, I'm not sure why they wrote distinguish as opposed to separate. I can't answer that. We'll get to Rashi. Maybe that's the reason why they wrote. So we have now, your point is going to be better than you realize. We have now in the 613 commandments a positive mitzvah of to separate between kosher and non-kosher, and therefore you eat non-kosher, you violate this positive mitzvah. Because it means, he says, what it's basically telling you is eat kosher. The word separation, distinguish between kosher and non-kosher means eat kosher. So when you eat non-kosher, you violate the idea of eating kosher. Now, right away, the Ramban and the others ask this question on the Rambam. Not openly, but it comes out as the question. They ask Elias this question. In the Rambam's rules of what counts as 613 and what does not count, the Rambam has a rule like this. You only get to count something in the 613 if it's applicable by itself at one point. If it's just going to always be doubled up. For example, it says in the Torah, maybe 50 times, it's a debate, but we'll say the famous one is 50 times it says to remember the Exodus of Egypt. When someone fulfills the mitzvah, remember the Exodus of Egypt, maybe in God's world, he gets 50 merits onto his credit for each word he says. That is a possibility, but it doesn't count as 50 in the 613. A repeat command doesn't get counted in the 613. Don't do idolatry is repeated multiple times. When someone does idolatry, it could be in God's world, he's violating a very serious multiple offense. But in the list of the 613, it does not get counted there. Okay, so now, this is the point of the question.
I would say, you said a couple of years ago, there's a whole debate if there's 613 or 615.
No, in general, is this 613?
This is always a debate.
Yeah. Now, most of the counters
doesn't have the last word,
Correct. Not necessarily. All of the counters count 613. The question is why? Weird. Source it. Who says? Maybe not. Maybe 617. Correct. We discussed it a few years ago. But once we accept 613, what gets counted? That doesn't mean it's not an obligation or a commandment or a mitzvah. What gets counted? So the Rambam counts this Pasuk as one of the 613, and he interprets it means when you eat non-kosher food, you also violated not eating kosher food. He calls it a law of a negative that's violated a really bad positive. If I say do X and you do Y, so I didn't say don't do Y. The difference is this. If I tell you don't do Y and you do Y, you violate a prohibition. You get lashes for that. Violating a classic prohibition is lashes. The Torah says don't do something and you actively do it, lashes. But the Torah says do X and you do Y, you violated the words of do X, but you don't get lashes for that. Because when you violate a positive, through doing it, you don't necessarily get lashes. But the Rambam here counts in the 613 that these words that someone who eats non-kosher food will violate this positive command. And the question that Eliezer thought he asked, but wasn't sure now if he asked, was, wait a second, I don't need this positive command because I always have the negative prohibition, don't eat non-kosher food. So what am I gaining? What does the Rambam gain to count in the 613?
That's right. It means one.
Right. That's what I said before. That's what you might have got it right. And the Rambam definitely lists them as a negative and a positive. The problem is the Rambam doesn't normally list a negative and a positive unless there's a difference in practicality where we can prove that the positive was relevant and the negative wasn't. And here we have to find that source. That's what the question is. You can't have a positive and negative that always coincide without any practical difference and list them as two. That's the short of it. The Rambam, according to the Rambam, others disagree. But the Rambam's count of 613 will only list, again, to the crux of the question, according to the Rambam, you will not count two negatives. He won't count a repeat negative because there's no extra point. What's the point of counting a repeat negative? So don't bow down to idol worship gets one. It might be don't bow down and don't serve, two different ways, maybe. But it won't be the same thing repeated twice. When it says don't eat insects, the Torah repeats it four or five times. Talmud discussed it at length. The Rambam will not count don't eat insects as four different things, unless one's sea creatures and one's land creatures. If there's a difference, count them both in the list. When they're exact same thing, exact same circumstances, the Rambam doesn't count too. Problem is here he says that when someone eats non-kosher food, he violates a positive commandment along with the negative. Question is, Rambam, we could allow that to be a violation. You can't count it in 613. So what we have to do is, we have to figure out either a different interpretation of this command, or we have to figure out a circumstance that separates the two. That's weird, right? Well, yes. We have to find a circumstance where the positive will be applicable and not the negative.
You have to find something, yeah.
That will separate them. So the Sefer HaChinuch Sefer Hachanech was the anonymous sefer, written roughly 1300s, that has a list. He follows usually the Rambam's list of the 613. He goes in the order of the parshiyos, so he has this in this week's parsha, and he quotes the Sefer Hachinuch, Sefer Hachinuch himself, and he says this Rambam, and he says like this: if someone eats, unbelievable, when it says to distinguish, to separate, to knowledge, he says like this: if someone eats kosher food, and he doesn't learn the laws to distinguish, what he does is he knows an animal has two signs of what makes it kosher, and he checks for one, doesn't check for the second, and eats it. But lo and behold, the man is lucky it was kosher. He doesn't violate a negative prohibition of eating non-kosher food. He ate kosher food. You know what he violates? This command. Because this command is not necessarily distinguished, meaning when you eat non-kosher, even when you eat kosher. Anytime you sit down to eat, distinguish, which might be, according to some present day understanding, very easy mitzvah to do, Eliezer. Every time you're about to eat something, every single time, you look to see if there's a little OU there, or whatever you hold up. Okay, Chofke, whatever brand of Judaism you ascribe to. And you say, I'm looking, I want to eat kosher, I'm distinguishing between kosher and non-kosher.
You check,
and you fulfill a positive mitzvah. Mm-hmm. That's what they want to explain in the Chinuch that way. The Sefer HaChinuch says the reverse. If someone did not check and ate a kosher animal, he violated this law. He's talking about an animal. Violates the law. The present day commentators want to add and say, okay, that's a great way. Now we found, according to the Rambam, an answer. How did the Rambam count this as a positive mitzvah? We said it's every time a guy eats the non-kosher food, he violates both. Who cares? That's the same thing. No, because I'll give you a case where you violate the positive, not the negative. When you eat kosher food and you didn't check, which would mean on the animal, we're extending it every time today. As someone drinks his coffee, if he checked to see where the coffee came from, if he checked the label to make sure, looking a little guilty, somebody.
No, it's fine. No.
If you look at it, it's fine. It's fine. You already had one tonight. You might be able to live it.
I have a third one.
So the idea is we have every time that means the positive is a new positive message. The positive mitzvah is to recognize that there's a concept called kosher, non-kosher, and make sure you're eating kosher. You know that you have to eat kosher.
Yeah.
So how do I know if something's kosher? I have an obligation to distinguish, to separate between kosher and non-kosher. How do I do that in my house? I only allow kosher in. How do I allow any kosher in? Check the label. So every time you check the label, or every time you're about to eat and you think about it, I would be...
Yeah, but when you go to eat somewhere...
Yeah. When you go to some restaurant, you check the label.
Well, yes.
No, but there's no label. The food is cut already.
Fine. So you're lying on the person.
You go to the Tujas, the certificate outside.
No,
he's
saying it's already past the slaughtering stage. Correct. But you're now saying, I am eating kosher foods. He wants to say maybe, I think what he's saying is maybe you got to check it early on. Like the same kind of saying, check it when it's still a live animal.
Look at the lungs, that's trach. Look at the lungs, see if it's...
So the question is, that's what he's asking. I think, can you fulfill the mitzvah? But you're not checking the lungs, you're only checking the fish. I say that some people say by checking this, you can fulfill. Some people say that you can only fulfill it. The slaughterer could. But one thing for sure we have, the Sefer HaChinuch is saying this, he is answering the question of the Rambam. Although the Rambam counted as a positive. So he said, yeah, of course I'll count the positive because there are circumstances you could violate the positive without violating the negative. When would you violate the positive without the negative? You coach food. Eat the negative, you're violating both. But that wouldn't be good enough. You have to find a case positive without negative. We found a case positive without negative. Answer number one, better say that. Answer number two, which I love. The second answer. Again, we're trying to find a distinction between the positive and the negative or else they can't be listed. Is they want to say that in order to violate the prohibition of eating non-kosher food, you have to eat a minimal amount of an olive, kazayas. But the positive mitzvah can be fulfilled eating this much. Which means, the positive violation, one violation, which means, when someone eats non-kosher food and he nibbles on this much, he violated this positive mitzvah. Positive mitzvahs have no minimum requirement according to this approach. Which means, the moment he ate this much, he violated the positive. Without violating the negative. That's what we need. A case where you're violating the positive without violating the negative. We're talking about a guy who's eating non-kosher food. But yes, there's still a different size requirement. You violate the positive this much. You don't violate the negative till this much. So there is a point where there's positive without negative. Therefore, the Rambam can count it as two separate mitzvahs. Answer number two. Answer number three. Again, trying to find a case of a positive or a negative. This is already 2 for 2, Eliezer, but they're going to do 3 for 3. This is a third answer. Okay. It goes a very, very fine line. Brain work back to your younger days like this. There is an approach that says, anytime you're in doubt about something, you're not sure, and you do a violation, we believe that when there's a biblical question in front of you, we err on the side of stringency. That means if you're not sure if this is kosher or not, don't eat it. But if someone does eat it, what did he violate? Did he violate a biblical law or a rabbinical law? Some want to say that when it says don't do something, Torah says don't do a million things. When it says don't do it, it means you have to, the only way to violate it, if you're 100% sure you're doing something wrong. If it's 100% you're sure of what you're doing is wrong, that's how, when the Torah says don't do something, it's don't do when you're 100% sure. If you're 98% sure, yes, the rabbis come along and say don't do it, but that doesn't violate the biblical level. Because when it says don't do means 100% don't do it. So if you're doing 98%,
that's rabbinical.
It's a rabbinical violation. What about the positive? When it says do something, it goes the same way. You only gain the credit when you're 100% into the game. Do it means you know 100% you're doing it right. What about this weird case? It says do X, which means don't do Y. Do X means don't do Y. What level of obligation do I need in order to violate this? They want to say that over here, even when you're 50-50, you violate. Because when I'm telling you do X, the moment you're going to Y, you're not doing X. You're for sure not doing X.
An example of that.
Eat kosher. That's the case we're talking about now. Eat kosher, which means every time you eat kosher, you're doing okay. When you eat non-kosher, you didn't fulfill your positive obligation of eating kosher. So therefore, let's say you're 50-50 on something and you now eat 50-50. You don't know if this is non-kosher. It has no label. No OU. You walk in, you're not sure. As far as the negative prohibition, you biblically did not violate the negative prohibition. Because you don't violate, you don't do something until you're 100% sure. You weren't 100% sure. You're 50% not sure. You're a bad person. Rabbis are angry at you, and you will get punished by the rabbi.
Like you ate no kosher.
But we're not sure. You don't know. You went into a restaurant, you never thought about it.
Means he's not kosher.
It's not kosher rabbinically. What about biblical? You walk into a restaurant without a thing. Odds are it's not kosher. Is odds are enough that the rabbis will punish you on a biblical level? No. The rabbis don't punish biblically. I don't know what rabbis. Someone can't get published biblically. He didn't violate biblically. He's 100% sure. That's not kosher. So let's say a guy goes into a Hindu restaurant. And God forbid, sadly said, they gave him non-kosher food. Did he violate the biblical law of don't eat non-kosher food? No. Why not? Because when he ate non-kosher food. But he wasn't 100% sure it was non-kosher food. He actually thought it was kosher. But see, anyway, accidental. But let's say he knew there's a chance. When you walk into a vegan restaurant, you're 99% sure, based on American laws, that they're not serving you meat. 99%. So the guy walks into a store. But this store, he's like, I don't know. This lady behind the counter, it looks like a business opportunity. Yeah. It's a scam. You eat it. You didn't violate the biblical negative law of eating non-kosher food because you're not 100% sure. But you did violate the positive of make sure you're eating kosher.
Biblical.
Positive of eat kosher. To eat kosher, the moment you're 50-50, you're not eating kosher. You already violated that. You're not eating kosher now. You didn't violate the negative. So again, we're trying to point out a case that you could violate the positive without the negative. Otherwise, the Rambam can't quote it. So one case was when you eat kosher food, didn't check. 1300. Second one was
size-wise.
You violate the positive at the smell. Third answer is going to be when you're not 100% sure on the negative. You only violate the negative 100%. You violate the positive at 55%. Not even 50. It might be 10%. You might be violating the positive. The moment you step away from what's 100% kosher, you violate it. Even if you're 1%, you blew it.
What happens?
Excellent. What we're discussing now is this. I don't know how you even got that. I'll just start that.
The fact is because you're the, how do you violate the positive but not doing the
negative. That's what we're discussing.
And I'm saying if you had one hecher, which wasn't exactly the top, you'd violate the positive without doing the negative.
Maybe.
That was what I thought. Let's go fourth answer of different hechers.
Right.
Maybe.
Because if you believe it's not on the level of kosher, then you're not eating kosher on your level.
But it's so still violate kosher, the essay. For theoretically. Right.
Again, the Sefer HaChinuch says if you ate 100% kosher but didn't check, he's going on the animal, like he said, not the hechsher. Right. But if you 100% ate kosher, he writes those words. You checked one out of two simonim, one out of two signs on the animal, and you found the first one kosher, that good enough. You didn't check the second. There might be a camel. You didn't check. You violated, even though you got lucky and it was a regular animal. So certainly you could say, Costco, good one, that maybe if you believe that this standard of Kashrus is not really, really good. But you're on vacation in Florida, and it's the one that's there, so why not? Even in a vegan restaurant, he said correctly, even in an Indian Hindu restaurant, which is not vegan, but same idea, you still need that sign. And when you walk into a restaurant, as I've heard recently, it could be a sign that expired 6 months ago.
That's the question. That happened.
That's a real problem.
But you know something, Charles, with the seltzer there?
For sure.
The OU came out a thing, I don't know, was it 10 years ago? I don't know. Where they said New York City water, they say you should have a water filter.
Filter's an issue because of bumps. My father years ago, Kiesel loved this. Years ago, 30 years ago, more, 30 years ago, my father got a phone call. And a guy told him, I'm in this restaurant that has your name on it, has your number, my house number, same number now, and my parents' house number, and it says this. I'm like, curious. I haven't seen you here. What's the level of cash that you're going with? My father said, I have no idea what you're talking about. I am not a mashgiach in a restaurant. Never was, never tried to be. I have no idea why my name is sitting on a sign on Avenue P. This is about 35 years ago. And the guy said, thank you. And my father said, you can tell the guy to take it off because it ain't me. It's not me, not my number. And my father's name and number was there.
You got a photo of that?
This is a long time ago. We didn't have cell phones back then.
That's terrible.
But my father didn't know that. My father didn't know. You know my father. He's not going to restaurants. So it's like he's telling my father, restaurant A. He's like, I don't know what that means. And I mean, you got a phone call. My father told the guy, I'm glad you called me. But you should take it down. And my father, I don't remember what he did. He was thinking, what's his obligation to go to the store and take it down? Mm-hmm. Is he obligated? It's a separate set of laws right now. Is he obligated to go to the store and say, that's not me, or not? First of all, the guy behind the counter could always say, this is a different, you know, has a number. There's a different Rebbe Hubner, which we know Hubner's not a positive name. The idea
but
is...
The phone number was...
The idea is that Haskell is saying, potentially correct, that it could be, in theory, that if someone thinks his the label is not up to his standard, figures, who cares, he could be violating potentially the positive and not the negative, based on what we said. Have a great night. I didn't get to finish anything I wanted, but maybe next year, Kasha Shmini...